to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Ready to hook up with Brett Siegel, SINow.com on the NBA playoffs. Again, two games tonight, Philadelphia and Miami in South Florida, out in Arizona, Suns and Mavericks. Both of those series tied up at two, Boston winning yesterday. They have evened up their series at two, and Golden State 3-1 over Memphis with a wild, weird game in which they just didn't play very well, but they still managed to find a way to win that game. Hey, Freol delivers a deep penetrating oil, delivers three times more lubricant. So it takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. So if you've got rusted nuts and bolts, let's say you got stuck ball joints, whether it's rusted machine screws or rusty pliers and other tools or pillow blocks, frozen muffler exhaust clamps, Freol deep penetrating oil is for you. It's body shop safe, which means it's safe on paint, plastic parts. It's silicone free. And you can find Freol deep penetrating oil at AutoZone, O'Reilly, Napa, and other auto parts stores. Also select Walmart stores. Give Freol deep penetrating oil a try. I know you'll enjoy it. I find it very useful because, again, when you talk about less torque, that's what I got as I get older, less torque. So it takes less spray, less torque, and that means less time to get the job done. It's Freol deep penetrating oil. So as we've been talking about this morning about the playoff games from last night, again, you saw Golden State not play particularly well. They got a game. They did win the game within the final minute, able to take the lead for good. Memphis had this one. I can't stress this enough. I know it was a late ending, but Memphis had this one. But without, you know, even without Ja Morant, they were 20-5 without him. They still found a way in the end to have a lead in the fourth quarter until Golden State took it away. Other games, again, Brett Siegel joining us to help us break it down. SI Now covers the NBA. How are you, Brett?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me this morning.
All right. We were talking about this about last night's game. Let's start with Boston, the Al Horford fourth quarter, the Al Horford game in the second half. What did you make of Boston's being able to utilize not only him, Jason Tatum, and evening up that series at two?
Well, that was a really impressive win for the Celtics, not only because they were able to come back in the second half from a double-digit deficit, but because they put up 43 points in the fourth quarter. And like you mentioned, Al Horford looked like the old Al Horford, all-star Al Horford. I mean, it was just an incredible game for him, arguably the best game late in his career that he's had. Jason Tatum going for 30 and 13 rebounds. And the Bucks, they just looked fatigued late in the game. I really didn't like the rotations that the Bucks used. I mean, they have Bobby Portis on their bench, who's played fairly well in this series. I don't think he's played terrible. You have George Hill, who's fresh back from injury, and Hill played eight more minutes than Portis in this game. And Portis just did not get in the groove at all. Giannis was really tired late in the game after 41 minutes. You had Jrue Holiday tired in the game, 41 minutes. So I just think that the Celtics just wore the Bucks down all game long, and it paid off late in the game. You could see it that the Bucks were just fatigued and they had nothing left in those final 4 to 5 minutes.
There's that saying in baseball, momentum is only good as the next day's starter. How do we equate that in basketball? When you see a game like last night where Boston has to have a tremendous fourth quarter, and now they've evened up this series, they get that road split after having a road split against them. How do we see the momentum in this series?
Well, the momentum has shifted from the Bucks to the Celtics now, especially since the Celtics are now going to go back home and play game five on their home court. I mean, this is a huge win for them because they evened up this series at 2-2 instead of going down 3-1. That's a massive difference in any NBA series. So now the Celtics, if they win their next game, and since they have all the momentum, they could potentially go up 3-2 and be one game away from moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals. So the momentum and the focus in this series is all on Boston's side right now. Milwaukee's the one with their backs up against the wall.
Let's go to Memphis Golden State, because it was saying, look, Memphis had this game last night. They have played well, 20-5 without Ja Morant during the regular season. And last night they were leading this game until the final minute. How does Taylor Jenkins get this team ready for Game 5? I can't imagine that it's going to be as easy as let's move on with a young basketball team.
Well, that really is kind of the mindset going in, because it's a young team, but at the same time, it's a 56-win team. They're a pretty experienced team throughout this season. They've grown a lot throughout this season, and it is kind of going to be one of those things where, yeah, it's disappointing you lost this game, but you have to turn the page and really lock in for Game 5, whether you have Morant or not, because you're down 3-1 in the series. So basically, you're going to see this Grizzlies team play the same physical style that they have been in this series, So I think you're going to see them play a lot more laid back and a lot more carefree, because at this point, they don't really have anything to lose. They're down 3-1 in this series, and everybody's expecting them to lose Game 5 now to the Warriors, who many are pegging to win this championship this year. And they look like that they're back and look like the team that they have been in the last, 7 to 8 years that they've had NBA Finals run. So the Warriors aren't really the team that have everything to lose in this series now of 3-1. We've seen them blow a 3-1 series before, so anything's possible, but the Grizzlies really do need Ja Morant if they're going to win this series. Can they win Game 5 without him? Potentially, yeah. I mean, we saw them put up a really good fight in Game 4, and defensively, they looked like that they were causing a lot of problems for the Warriors. But in terms of winning three straight games in this series, they're going to need Ja Morant back for that.
Whether it was Draymond Green or Desmond Bane or Jordan Poole, the physicality has been a storyline in this series. What is your thoughts on how physical these two teams are playing?
It's just playoff basketball. That's the best time of the year, the playoffs. And quite honestly, I don't really prefer seeing a lot of these flagrant fouls being called. Some of them I understand, and in terms of the rules, yes, they are flagrant. But let these guys play. It's the NBA playoffs, and in all these series, there's been a lot of ticky-tack fouls that you could point to and say this wouldn't have been called 4 or 5 years ago. So some of them, it's just I don't like. Others, you can classify as dirty fouls, but it's the playoffs. Everybody's playing hard and vying for a championship right now.
All right, let's go to Philadelphia and Miami, and the Sixers even this up at 2 games apiece, winning both games at home, getting Joel Embiid back, and then James Harden had that 31-point performance in Game 4. Is it as simple as getting Embiid back, or has there been other things that have worked in Philly's favor with Joel Embiid in the lineup that has evened up this series now at 2?
Well, he's a pretty good player. Joel Embiid coming back on
sure
the court
is.
Makes a big difference for the 76ers, not only offensively, but in terms of rebounding, and most importantly, in terms of defense. I think that's where he's had the most impact in these past 2 games, is on the defensive end of the floor. And while the stats may not necessarily back that up, it's just his presence there of being able to limit Bam Adebayo's presence in the paint, being able to keep the Heat's guards from turning the corner and driving downhill. I mean, there was that one play last game where he absolutely locked up Victor Oladipo on the defensive end of the floor, out on the perimeter. So it's just plays like that that energizes Philadelphia 76ers team. And when they're taking away the Heat's second unit and the Heat aren't able to drive downhill, like I mentioned, it causes the 76ers offense to now become a lot more open. And they can not only play through Embiid, but they can push the ball in transition and fast break. And that's where the Heat actually struggled this year, was stopping teams in fast break. And the 76ers have one of the fastest guards and one of the best fast break scorers in the league in Tyrese Maxey. So you get him going, you get Embiid going from the low post. Tobias Harris has been really good the past 3 games. And then all of a sudden, James Harden breaks out of his slump and goes for 31 points on 6 of 10 shooting from deep. He hasn't made 6 3-pointers in a game since back in November when he was with the Brooklyn Nets. So, I mean, this is a really important game for James Harden to break out and finally have that signature all-star-like MVP game with the 76ers. The only question, though, is was this a one-time thing or can he do it again?
Yeah, I was going to lead into that because, again, it was a night where he had 31. He had 6 3-pointers, like you mentioned. And all right, so you give him a little space, he takes those shots. But if those shots aren't falling, he's not going to be able to do that again. But overall, the impact of that kind of performance in a game 4 for James Harden, who's been not necessarily criticized, but we've kind of talked about losing a step with this guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be one of those things that we're going to have to watch for in Game 5 in Miami, because he's not going to have the home crowd behind him anymore. So it'll be really interesting to see how the Heat, A, adjusts to playing James Harden, and B, if Harden makes any adjustments to his game, depending on what the Heat throw at him.
All right, let's go to Dallas and Phoenix. Couple of circumstances in Game 4 that I don't know if it comes back at any point in the series. Chris Paul fouls out early. But then this sort of shift in the way the offense is doling out for Dallas. Luka Doncic is averaging 40 points over the first 2 games, but he gets no help. Then you get Jalen Brunson contributing, Dorian Finney-Smith contributing. Luka doesn't have to score 35 points. How much has that been a factor in the way Dallas won those 2 games at home?
Well, the biggest thing coming into this series, when you look at the last series for the Mavericks, let's look at the Utah Jazz series. It was just Luka Doncic and Jalen Brunson, really. It was a two-man game between them that the Mavericks were able to take advantage of the Jazz's defense. And Luka Doncic just played one-on-one for pretty much the majority of those games, especially to close them out. In this series against the Suns, early on, they tried to do the same thing of getting Luka Doncic in isolation, and it worked for a vast majority of the time. He scored 80 points in the first two games. I mean, that's pretty impressive, but no one else was getting involved. Luka Doncic is a great scorer, don't get me wrong, but he is a fantastic player when he gets everyone involved. His ability to create opportunities for others and dish out assists, I mean, it's A-tier. It's one of the best passers and one of the best facilitators in the league, and we've seen that the last two games in Dallas. Him getting other people involved and not always playing one-on-one. I mean, Dorian Finney-Smith, he's broken out and looks like the hottest player in this series right now because of it, after shooting 8-for-12 from three-point range. You have Davis Bertans, who got involved last game off the bench. You have Maxi Kleber, who's gotten involved off the bench last two games, and Jalen Brunson's broken out of his slump because Doncic has allowed him to have the ball in his hands in different scenarios instead of him just playing one-on-one. So Dallas is playing a lot more together, and I really like the adjustments they've made defensively in this series because they're not zoning in specifically on Devin Booker. They're trying to get in the head of Chris Paul. They're trying to get in the head of Mikal Bridges, and so far these last two games, it's really worked.
Brett, I really appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us this morning, helping us break down the NBA playoffs, the semifinal matchups in each conference.
Absolutely. Take it easy. Have a good one.
You done. Brett Siegel again, SINow.com, covering the NBA. As we go through all four of the series, again, two tonight, South Florida and Phoenix, Suns, Mavericks, and Miami Heat, and the Philadelphia 76ers. Come back, wrap up the show as we continue. It's Tony D. Ron Culver and Wake Up Call.